everybody, and welcome to the Fielder Podcast. I am Becky Palacios, and I am fighting for my life to be here. And then we have Zer. I don't know if you're fighting for your life, are you?
Yeah, in a way. But we're here.
And the last episode that we talked about was bitterness. Mm-hmm. And we kind of, it was, I think, the way I view it, we set up a lot of things. Like, we set up the foundation. I kind of gave some research that I'd been bunny rabbit holing down. But I think there were some additional topics that we wanted to touch on.
For sure.
And so we opted to do a part two. And mm-hmm. so in some ways, this is going to be less prepared. Like, we're almost less prepared to do this one. But I think it was important to kind of expand on bitterness and all of that. So, yeah, how do you feel about it?
I think this is good. I think the conversation about bitterness, at least from where we left it off.
Yeah.
There's so many, because we were primarily talking about bitterness towards somebody who has wronged us and lingering in that. But there's also other aspects of bitterness towards God and towards maybe those who have passed away. And so there's other things I think the conversation can go into.
I agree.
We're just going to let the Spirit of God.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with you. I think there was just more topics. So I think the assumption based on last time was that someone has hurt us or we perceived hurt from somebody. But I think, like, I want to kind of talk about what the first thing that you mentioned, which is being bitter at God.
Yeah.
Which I almost, like, hesitate to even say it because it feels so, like, you know, blasphemous to say something like that. But I think it's something that most people have wrestled with at some point in time. I think for me, it kind of came from a sense of, and I feel like I talked about this in the first episode about my testimony with just like, I was just frustrated at God and I kind of hated him because I was like, if my mom is in my mind, I was viewing my mom to be Jesus because she was the epitome of perfection in my mind, but she obviously wasn't. And so I was just like, if my mom had, it was such a godly woman and pursued you and loved you, God, and you still gave her the worst life, like, what can I expect? And so I think I was angry at him for a lot of ways. And so there was a bitterness there just at him giving the people I love a hard life and even me a hard life. And so I think I was angry at him for like circumstances or things that happened to me or those that I love. And I was just angry at him because I didn't think he was good.
Yeah.
So for me, that's kind of how it turned out.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, even if just there's so many instances in my life where I've had that same feeling because, you know, I grew up similarly Christian household. My dad's a pastor.
Yeah.
And yet, like, my dad was a full-time pastor in ministry, like, and had a full-time job, graveyard shift. And I remember there were seasons of my life where I was just bitter, not just towards my dad, but towards God. It's like, here's my dad giving his life for this ministry. Why aren't you providing for our family?
It's hard. And it's hard because, like, you know, I think we encourage you guys and each other. Like, we encourage you to, if you have those angers, those frustrations, those thoughts, like, take them to God. Like, he can handle our anger. He can handle those thoughts.
Yeah.
But I don't think that that's, like, most of the time our initial step. Like, I think we try to, like, think through it. And so it took me a long time to verbalize a lot of those thoughts to God. It's like, I'm angry with you. And you know, as an unbeliever before, he never spoke back to me about it. You know, like, and so it's hard being angry at someone who won't defend themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not gonna, you know, poof right in front of me and be like, okay, like, and you know, and some, you hear stories of like that being the case, but for the most part, if you're yelling at God or you're angry at him, he's not going to personify himself right in front of you.
He's silent.
He's silent. Yeah. And so how do we internalize, how do we process that silence?
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's a really good question. So how do we process that silence? Like, as I'm just thinking about it, like, even in my own life, just thinking back to moments where I've been bitter towards God, like, I think there's this level of, I had an expectation of God. Right. And then he doesn't meet that expectation.
That's so painful.
Then I'm bitter. Right. So then how do I deal with, I think for me, at least in the past, how I've dealt with this. And I still, even to this day, I'm at times bitter at God, you know, but how I always deal with it is, like, I go back to the Word of God and I remind myself of the character of God.
Yes.
Like, the Bible is clear who God is.
He's,
good.
Yes.
He's faithful. He's sovereign. Like, all of these incredible, like, descriptions of who God is. And oftentimes, it's when my expectation of him didn't meet what the Bible actually reveals him to be.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's that unmet expectation. And so then I feel hurt.
Yeah.
When I was just expecting the wrong thing, you know?
You know, that's such a good point. And I think this is kind of trickling into a different direction, but I want to come back to this. So just, I've had conversations even recently of reconciling with people who I was like bitter towards or upset with. And I'm talking like not even recently, yes, but also conversations with people from like years back who like just there's been, I've hurt them and they've pursued reconciliation in some way or like clarity. And it's just always a really interesting spot to be in to, like, reconcile with somebody like that. But I think it's been interesting because whenever I play out what I wanted the reconciliation to look like, my vision for it is rarely ever met. Because I'm expecting that person to, like, agree with me and own up to their mistakes or, like, you know, admit that they did wrong. And that's not how we should approach reconciliation. Mm-hmm. But I think it's fair to, like, you know, I'm expecting this from this. I think it's fair to, like, hope for certain things, mm-hmm. but not to the point where it's, like, whenever you do have that reconciliation, if they don't do that checklist, that you're like, well, you know what? You're still dead to me. You know, like, there's kind of a balance there of, like, having healthy expectations for that kind of reconciliation. And so when it comes to God, I think we have an unjust expectation of, like, whenever I address this conversation with him or whenever he finally breaks the silence and responds back to me, he's going to tell me everything I need to know, which is not the case. And also, like, I think it also has to come back to a place of, like, the identity of God in your life, that you have to understand he doesn't have to answer anything. For sure. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think of Job. You know, like, just going back to, like, the life that Job lived. Job, for those of you guys that don't know, was a person in the Bible who the Bible talks about. He has this whole book, his own book, and it's basically talking about how there was a conversation between Satan, the enemy, and God, and the enemy was just like, hey, bro, like, this, like, your people aren't, you know, loyal to you, like, this guy Job, like, he would, you know, he would dump you. The only reason why he's following you. And it's kind of like, I think that entire book really contradicts, like, that gospel, the prosperity gospel? Yeah. That entire book contradicts it, because it's like, because the Lord is like, no, like, I can take away everything from him and he'll still be loyal to me. Yeah. But there's a chapter at the end where Job is like, he's done. He's had it. And he's like having that discussion with God about, like, I feel so wronged and so betrayed by you, blah, 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 blah. And it's a really powerful moment. Yeah. And God answers him, but God's like, he doesn't answer his question. Yeah. And in reality, like, Job never really gets the clarity of, like, I did this to prove your, to encourage other believers of the faithfulness to follow God, you know? And he never tells him about, well, I was talking to, you know, the enemy, that scrub, like, I was talking to him about you. And, like, he never answers anything. He doesn't give him any clarity. He just points back to himself. And I think that's the root of how to reconcile, not reconcile with God, I think that sounds weird, but just, like, how to release your bitterness to God.
For sure. Yeah, I love the story of Job too, because there's multiple verses in that I could just think of off the top of my head, right, where he says, like, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord, right?
Yes.
Instead of choosing bitterness for having all of the stuff taken away from him, he said, I'm going to choose to bless, like, worship God. And then in the beginning of the story, there's that whole thing where he's like got boils all over and he's just like scraping all the nastiness off, you know, like complete, like, his wife even goes to him and said, like, just curse God and die. And then
she literally, the worst wife ever.
Not a Proverbs 31 woman.
Yeah, not a Proverbs 31 woman. But she was like, just kill yourself. Yeah. Like, what is wrong with you? No,
but then his response is crazy, right? He says, shall we not receive just good from the Lord, but also bad?
Yeah.
It's like his view of God in that moment is just saying ultimately, like, God is God,
yep,
and I'm man. He's completely sovereign,
yes.
And though what I'm experiencing seems evil, seems bad, I don't have the mind of God to fully understand this whole situation. So I'm just going to trust in his character. And that's huge. And then obviously, right, like you mentioned, like throughout the rest of the book, only until the end, he starts really going like raw with God. You know?
And I, while you were talking, I was just reminded of a verse in Romans, Romans 9, I think it's like 20, 21 maybe. Yeah. And so it's talking about like, who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed to the one who formed it say, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make the same lump out of clay some pottery or special purposes for common use? And some for common use. Yeah. And so just like that, like we, the Lord doesn't have to answer us.
That's right.
And we are, because of the, like the relationship that we get to have with him through Jesus Christ, like we get to have these conversations with God of like, I'm angry with you. I'm frustrated with you. And I had one with him literally this weekend, which is so funny to like talk about. I didn't think I was going to talk about this, but here we are. I think I just kind of put, like I talked about this on the last episode of podcast. Like, I think I really wrestle with like self-hatred a lot, which is so crazy to me. But I think it all comes back to like my childhood wounds and like just like formative years, just being really shaped by being constantly reminded of how broken I am and how much of a sinner I am. But there was no grace to that.
Yeah.
And so I was really wrestling with my identity this weekend. And we were at a work retreat, which is probably what we're so... We're recovering, bro. It was great. Like, it was a prayer and fasting retreat. It was awesome. But it was brutal because I usually don't have as much of a physical response to like fasting, but this year was really hard on my body. But I went, there's a time block where we like go into silence and solitude and you find a quiet place to go talk to the Lord. And I was laying it out and I was like, look, bro, like feel hurt because I feel like you put me, like, I feel like you formed me. And so like, I have these issues with like valuing myself. And then, and just like the Lord's kindness, like he didn't answer me for a long time. Like I was out there for a long time, like by this like lake and just talking to him and talking to him and talking to him and like crying. And he didn't answer me. And I was like getting frustrated and I was like, why aren't you saying anything? Like, this is literally the time for you to be like, no. And he was really quiet for a long time. But you know what was crazy is like whenever he did speak, he said two things to me. And I need to find the verse. Hold on. He said two things to me. He said, there is no fear in obedience. He kept on saying that, which I think kind of goes back to like, I'm about to get married and there's a lot of fear because I have like, I've struggled with commitment issues for so long. And so I think entering into a marriage where it's like, I'm literally making a covenant with somebody else. It's a very scary thought and it's exciting, but it's super scary. And so, you know, I've been talking with Carlos a lot about it and just like, the encouragement and I identified that a lot of the issues concerning my fear are rooted in like my view of myself. And so it's just like, and I think it's been a constant battle that I've been wrestling with. But one thing that the Lord kept on reminding me was like, there's no fear in obedience.
Yeah.
And he just kept on reminding me of that. But then he also reminded me of 1 Peter 2:9, which says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Mm-hmm. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Mm-hmm. And so I think the Lord was so kind to point me to that verse that I already knew, but I read it in such a new way because I was like, you know, the only one that can get you out of a pit like that is the Lord, Jesus Christ, which is like... And he just is so kind to constantly remind me of like, you had that identity in the past. You could have felt like that. You had, you know, quote unquote, every right to feel like a broken sinner because you are. But I have given you a new name. I have adopted you. I have given you a new identity. I have chosen you. And so it was just so encouraging. And I like just started sobbing and it was just so beautiful. But like the Lord, he could have not answered me and still walked away righteous. You know what I'm saying? But it's because of his love and his kindness that he meets us whenever we're willing to humble ourselves and present these discussions to him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I do want us to talk about this because I feel like, and I want us to just maybe just go a little bit deeper on this idea of like, that it's okay to be bitter towards God in a sense of like what you were saying, like it's okay to lay it out before God.
Yeah.
Because I think there's at least, you know, I've experienced it in the past, especially my dad, he's a pastor. I just feel like they're my dad's generation, and it was almost like this, like it's taboo to...
How dare you question him?
Yeah. Not just question it, but like it's taboo to just mention your sins and mention your faults and like your anger, bitterness, like anything. It's just like you don't speak about it, you know? And honestly, when I was growing up, that's kind of like my mentality, you know, where it's like if I had said something against God or was angry at God, it was just like, be quiet, hold it in because he's God kind of thing.
Yeah.
But as you were just speaking, it just reminded me of like what we read. So we read a book during our prayer and fasting retreat called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools by Tyler Staton.
Plug. It's on Amazon.
Yes, that's right.
It's fire.
And in the book, though, he says, what does he say? Like, God can handle your messy prayers.
It's so funny to me that we get it in our minds that he can't handle it. Exactly. You know, like, I'm like, this is the God of the universe. He created all things. He molded you. He created you with these emotions. He already knows what we're thinking. Mm. Like, scripture talks about, like, how he knows the words on our tongues before we even speak them. Yeah. And so it's like, he already knows what you're thinking. He's just asking you to humble yourself to communicate with him.
And be honest.
And be honest.
Yes. I love it because he mentions the Psalms.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to
go to a
literal person in the Bible, King David, who most people know about, and you look, just read the Psalms, you can see both his joy and exaltation of God, but also his bitterness, his anger, his doubting. Like, it's a raw, raw book.
Yes. And I love the Psalms because I think, like, David, he doesn't shy away. And and I think a lot of times we have the tendency, and I'm talking to believers right now, like as believers, we have a tendency to dilute our problems because we're like, well, like I need to be grateful. So I don't need to be angry about that. And I'm like, yes, but also like, I feel like I said this the last podcast, like, but repressed emotions will always like find a way to come out and also will begin to affect everybody around you. And so it's like, if you're not really being real and processing these things with the person who can handle it, the Lord, like, you know, if you're not processing these things with it, it's gonna, you know, rot inside you and lead to bitterness. And like, we saw we talked about the effects of bitterness in the last podcast. And so it's just like, it's so important. Mm. The Lord is a safe space. He's a healing place. Yes. He's our comforter and he can handle it.
And I was just thinking about it, right? Like, I think he wrote it in the book, or maybe I'm thinking of a different book, but he just talks about, there's this idea of we are emotional beings.
Yeah.
Right? And oftentimes, like, at least for me, it's like, okay, I know the truth of what I know who God is, but it often doesn't match up with how I'm feeling about who he is, right? And it's like,
hello, convicting, yes.
And it's like, yes,
how dare you
preach the truth to yourself, right? But at the same time, like, I think we just need to have an honest, like, it really does need to be just be released, right? Like, be released.
Yes.
It's okay to have emotions that don't necessarily match up to the truth of God, but don't stay there, right? Like, I think the whole point of the Word of God, that God gives us His Word, is to remind us of the truth. And through prayer and through wrestling with God and through being honest, then our emotions catch up to the reality of
who God is. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. And I think there's a pastor that I used to listen to, Levi Lutzko.
Shout out, plug.
Levi Lutzko, he said something in a message like so long ago, I could not even tell you where the context of it, but he said a statement about like, whenever your heart doesn't want to follow, like, continue to be obedient and your heart will follow. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so just like, continue to walk in obedience, even if it doesn't make sense, even if you don't fully understand it, like just continue to walk in that obedience. And it's just like super, super helpful and releasing, because again, like at the end of the day, like you are having a conversation with God. It's not like, you know, he's not ever going to be on the like conviction stand, you know, like this is not a trial with God. Like this is just a conversation and us being able to humble ourselves to have that kind of conversation with him.
And on, as you were saying that, it just made me think, like, there's also the other side of the same coin, which is, I think there's some people, because we're talking about, hey, if you're bitter at God, wrestle with God and talk to him. I think there's the other side of the coin where there's people who would say, I'm bitter at God, and so instead of running to him, I'm running away from him. What would you say to somebody who's wrestling with that?
I do that. Yeah. I tend, whenever I'm hurt or grieving or something like that, I tend to isolate. And that has not, the Lord, unfortunately, is not immune to my tendencies in that. And so I will retreat. And I think my response to that is just, I think I look back to God's goodness to accept me in the past. And I also, a phrase that the Holy Spirit always reminds me of whenever I'm in isolation, when I'm retreating, the Holy Spirit always reminds me, like, my pursuit never ends. Like, I think God pursues the lost, like he's pursuing us. But I think sometimes we think that after we've given our life over to him, the pursuit stops.
Yeah.
And that's not how he operates. Yeah. Like, the pursuit is always continuing. Like, he's always pursuing us to, like, continue to come to him, to build our foundation, to be more like him, to become more sanctified, to be filled with more truth. Like, he's always, always working on us.
Yeah.
And so I think, to that, I would just say, remind yourself, if you have experienced God's goodness in the past, remind yourself of that goodness. Yes. And know that there's no safer place to go than into the arms of God.
Right.
And for those of you who have never experienced the goodness of God, try it. Like, you know, I want to encourage you to try it. Like, you know, I want to be careful how I say this, but, like, we have the same access to God,
yeah,
like, across the board. Like, we have access to God because of Jesus Christ. And yes, so it's like, come to Christ, like, hear the gospel, and just give him a chance, you know. Like, he's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, to this world, to this planet. Like, he is so good. And so I just, like, to that, I would just say, just give him a shot. Like, give him a try. And I remember that was my first phrase to him whenever I gave my life to Christ, was like, okay, I'm willing to try this.
Yeah. I think on that other side of the coin, just as you were saying, like, I think maybe it's a cultural thing as well. Like, we just see God as this, like, dictator, judge, like, super hard nosed, like, you mess up, he's fury and wrath, you know. But it's like, God also is loving,
yeah,
and kind,
yes,
and gracious,
yes,
and merciful. It's both and.
Yeah.
And where all of that meets together is in the cross of Jesus Christ.
I agree.
He's demonstrating both his justice and wrath being poured out on Christ Jesus on the cross, but also why he was doing that was to extend mercy and grace to, yes, all who would believe. And so, just as you're saying, like, I just, like, an encouragement to those who think, like, the first, like, if I'm bitter at God, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to run away from him. I think it's not just, remind yourself that God isn't just and angry or whatever, you know, like,
yeah,
he's some angry, sorry, I was going to say sky daddy. He's some angry sky daddy.
Sky daddy.
He's
so funny. You're canceled.
I'm canceled.
Just kidding.
He's merciful and, yes, gracious, sky,
yes,
daddy.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Reel it back. But yeah, no, yes, I agree with you. I think we tend to focus, and I think sometimes, like, shame plays an element into, yeah, that too, of like, I can't go back to God. Like, how can I? Like, I'm not being a good steward of his grace right now. Like, how can I? But again, I agree with you. And I'm going to bring her up again. Oh my gosh. Jackie O'Berry. I freaking love her. But she wrote this book called Holier Than Thou. I feel like I've already mentioned it. But there's a quote, there's a phrase that she talks about it in there where she says, God is holy and we know that. Like, and because he's holy, that means he's the most trustworthy person on the planet. And he's holy. So because he's holy, he can't sin against us. Like, he can't. He can't. Like, that's against his character. That's against who he is. And so he's the most trustworthy person on the planet. And so I think going back to, like, just reminding ourselves of, like, his identity of who he is and the access that we have to him through Christ, I think is really important. And, like, being able to process this bitterness. I think one other thing that I kind of wanted to, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but I think it would be good to expand on it, is just, like, repressed bitterness.
Yeah.
Like, what happens whenever you repress it, and, like, there are emotions that comes out of it, like outbursts, like, how has that ever happened to you? Mm. And how do you get out of that?
It's a good question. I think for me, the way I've seen it in my life is when I suppress bitterness, well, one, it affects my relationship with, like, we're specifically just talking towards God, right?
I mean, in general,
in too. General. Okay. So for me, I'm just thinking of seasons of bitterness. Again, I'll just say church hurt in general, like, that's towards God. That's also towards his people.
Mm.
Like in that season, I mean, it's almost like stages where it's like, one, I'm just like completely angry. And I just, every word that comes out of my mouth is almost like a insult to them, you know? And then when I stay in that bitterness, I just seen it grow deeper and deeper to the point where it's like at the very end of it, it was just like numb. Like I was a believer, but I just didn't want anything to do with God. Like maybe I'll talk to God in my prayers, but really I was just checking a box, you know?
Yeah.
Or we weren't going to church for a season of our marriage, me and my wife, because we were just so hurt by the church. And that bitterness honestly stayed, and it made us crummy people, like running away from the Lord. And we didn't get out of our bitterness until we faced it head on, like confessed it to the Lord and just said, Lord, we're hurt.
Yeah.
And it was only in that time of confession that we actually felt released.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yes. I agree with you. And I was thinking about this, and just as you were talking, I was just thinking about this verse in Matthew 6, where it says, Matthew 6, 14, 15 says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Mm. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And so just like that idea that like unforgiveness and bitterness literally puts a block, you know, it's like building a wall. You can't lose your salvation. So like, let me be clear on that. Yes. That's not what we're saying. But just like you don't have, like you're quenching the Holy Spirit in you at that point. And that like, you know, I've lived in seasons where I've quenched the Holy Spirit for periods of time. And I am, the first thing that I feel to go is like my lovingness towards others. Like, and I'm talking not just like people that I tolerate. I'm talking like people that I love, like deeply love. It affects all of my relationships. It typically also significantly affects my mental health. Like my mental health plummets most of the time. And and so I think just that kind of concept of like how unforgiveness and bitterness will, I think especially for people that are in ministry, like bitterness will steal your ministry from you.
Yeah.
Because how can you expect the breath of life from the Holy Spirit of God in your ministry if you are holding and harboring bitterness? Like, and I think people are like, yeah, the enemy is like, you know, doing division in all these places. And I'm like, yes. And I'm not disagreeing with that. I agree with you. But also we have a part to play in that. Like I'm not, sometimes we give the enemy credit for something. He's like, bro, that was all you. Like I had nothing to do with that. And I think we need to hold ourselves accountable. 100%. I think what I've learned in this season is just whenever I'm pursuing reconciliation, I think I need to lower my expectations, or not lower my expectations, but release control of how I expect it to turn out. Mm-hmm. Because, again, like sometimes I make a scorecard and I'm like, I'm like expecting you to say this and this and this and this and this. But that's just not reality. And I don't think I'm ever going to get that from somebody. And so I think at one point, like you just have to throw up your hands and be like, you know what? Like, I don't expect us. And I think like we have an unrealistic expectation that like once you reconcile with somebody it's gonna be great and you're gonna be besties, and we kind of touched on this last time, but like I don't expect that all the time. I think there are great powerful stories of that being the case, but that's not always the case. And I think the absence, like awkwardness between people like who have recently reconciled, that's not the absence of the Spirit, that's the presence of human emotions.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I think like that just kind of plays another role in that.
I want to touch on something you did say, just in terms of like how bitterness, we were talking, I mean, that was the question, right? How bitterness affects you and affects even your relationship with God. I just think of the scripture that says, you know, if you have a grievance or if your brother has a grievance against you, leave your gift at the altar, go be reconciled, then go and offer your gift, because otherwise it's not pleasing and acceptable to God. And like, I do think back on my life in seasons where I have been bitter. And again, I can go through the motions. I can, like, I can go to church and I can listen to a sermon, and I can, even because I know how to encourage people, read scripture and encourage mm-hmm. people, I can pray over people, but it's like almost, it's powerless. It's empty. It's not pleasing unto the Lord because I'm harboring bitterness with this person. And honestly, it's when I went and been reconciled. And again, reconciliation wasn't
different, right?
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh, we're back to being best buddies, but I made right with the person in the sense that I've released them, I've forgiven them. And like, yes, our relationship is marred and it won't be the same, but I'm willing to move forward at least to the next step.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I go back and I go and do those same exact things that I was doing when I was living in bitterness. But then there's a lightness. There's a freedom.
Yes.
You're just liberated from the bitterness.
Yes, I agree. But bitterness is a sin and it's a bondage. You know, do not be bound again by the yoke of slavery. And so it's like, I think it will enslave you. It's like chains on your body. And it affects you so much, and it affects your spiritual walk, it affects your emotional walk, your relational walk, every aspect. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, I think it also, like, you need to understand that, like, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so I think in the same way that I desire to be forgiven against the people that I have hurt or wounded, pre-Jesus or after Jesus, mm-hmm. that's not the point, but, like, in the same way that I desire to be forgiven by them, I want to forgive others in that same way. And the same, like, whenever I look to God and how much grace he's given me and how much forgiveness he's given me, like, how can I not forgive others? You know what I'm saying? Like, I have sinned, like, we all have sinned greatly against God. And he made a way for, like, for that forgiveness to be, to be freely given, not by works, but by grace, you know? Yeah. And so it's like, how can I look to God and be like, yes, I'll receive all your grace, I'll receive all your forgiveness, but also that person over there is super fake. I'm never speaking. Like, you know, it's like, I can't do that. And I think, again, like, it looks different. Like, how can you love that person? How can you respect that person? But also, how can you request respect from that person, I think, is also a way. And I've kind of learned to, like, include that in any conversations like this that I've had. Of just like, this is my expectation of how I'm expecting us to move forward. Like, I want your respect.
Yeah.
And this is how that looks like. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I mean, again, like, I want to go back to God. When it comes to God, mm-hmm. I think your expectation should always be to receive what he gives you.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, like, I don't think having an expectation of, like, God, like, I expect you to fix what you messed up. And, like, no, like, but, like, receive more confirmation of his goodness. And even what doesn't feel like kindness in his way is a kindness.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking, as we were preparing for this, I'm just thinking of the story of David with his child. He lost his child and, you know, he's
Bathsheba's son?
I don't remember. It probably was.
I think it was. But
anyway, I know it's in 2 Samuel.
Keep going.
But yeah, it's just the story of his sick baby. And then the baby passed. He pleaded. He cried to the Lord that the baby would survive. Baby didn't make it. But I just love it because his response wasn't bitterness.
Mm.
It was worship.
Yeah.
Again, just like Job, right? Like, we have a choice. We can either choose to be bitter or we can choose to worship God for who he is. And it's like, I'm not saying it's easy. Like, I'm sure it wasn't easy for Job to lose everything, lose his family, have boils all over his body, like, and for no, like, seemingly no reason at all.
Yeah.
It's not easy for David to have lost his child and to pray and pray and know the character of God. And yet, you know, like, the baby is lost, you know, like, he knows God is all powerful. He knows God is all good. And yet, for some reason, in God's sovereignty, the baby passes and he doesn't answer that pleading that he had. But yet, like, I really do think for us, It comes down to, I can either choose to trust God or not trust God.
Yeah.
And if I choose to not trust God, then I think that's where bitterness
sinks in.
I
agree. Yeah. I think we both want to communicate also, like, there are situations, you know, like, the first two things that came to my mind as we were talking about this was, like, miscarriage and, like, you know, rape or violence, like injustices, mm-hmm. like specific injustices. Mm-hmm. And we're not like, again, like we're not invalidating any of that.
Yeah.
I think it just kind of goes back to that of we can't answer any of those questions for you, mm-hmm. but we want you to seek comfort in the only person who can provide that comfort for those wounds, yeah. which is God. And you have access to him through Jesus Christ and the gospel and the freedom that comes from that. And so we want to point you guys back to that. Constantly remind you that the gospel is free. Like you don't have to, you know, pay for his services. You don't have to subscribe to any of that. Like this is the freedom of the gospel. And and so I think there's a freedom from bitterness and from the burdens that it carries and that it brings on your life and the havoc that it wreaks on your life. And it just kind of goes back to like, we want you to perceive us not as like casting judgment, but rather as just like, we're literally in the midst of these conversations that we're talking about you, or like we've recently gone through it, or these are like childhood stories. Like this is an open discussion with you guys. And so if you have any questions, have anything you want to talk or like mention, just email us. info@fielder.org, and we will happily address it or maybe discuss it in another podcast. We toyed with the idea of doing like a Q&A podcast where if you guys sent us like questions that we would make an episode around those questions. So like, yeah, literally do it. We're open to it. Any final thoughts?
Yeah. No, I just want to reiterate everything you just said more so in the sense of like, we're human beings.
Yeah.
who we're open to conversation.
Yeah.
I think that's really one I want. Like, it's not just you send us questions to and then we're just going to respond through a video. Like, I have a phone number. I got an email. I got social media. Like,
yeah.
I am an online pastor. You know, like, I would love nothing more than to have open dialogue with people who are struggling with bitterness. And that's why we're doing this. We want more people, whether they're in the church or outside of the church, like, to have these conversations that just maybe they don't feel they can have, you know? We want this to be a safe space for you.
Yeah, yeah, so. Please. Okay. All right. Well, thanks, guys, for listening and for watching if you're on YouTube with us. But we love you guys. And again, pointing back, if you haven't met Jesus, you should. He's pretty great. but, yeah, we'll see you guys next time.
All right.
Peace.